Welcome again to Cottage Talk. Co-hosting today will be David Holly and the return of Kyle Bond. I am Russ Goldman. In this episode, we'll be previewing the upcoming match for Fulham against Leeds United at Craven Cottage Wednesday night. We'll also have another edition of the Cottage Talk Roundtable. Plus, we will be playing Kit Simon's interview with Sarah Brooks that was done earlier today. So we have a good amount to get through. But before we get going, I have to welcome my Cottage Talk co-host to the show first. David, how you doing, my friend?
Hello again, Russ. Hello, everyone. It'd be fun to do the show with you and Kyle. Of course, I've done it with Kyle once before on my own, but never with both of you. So I'm going to have to mind my P's and Q's tonight, I think.
I would agree with that, David. Absolutely. I'm just kidding. It's fine. You could say whatever is on your mind. But before we go any further, I do have to welcome Kyle back to the show. I started this show 4 years ago with Kyle, and it's great to have him back on and doing it with you, David. Kyle, welcome back to Cottage Talk.
Thanks, Russ. I appreciate you having me on, as always. It's always good to come back to the old stomping grounds. David, I don't bite, so don't worry.
No, we had a great show together, Kyle, I remember. I think we had actually a higher-rated show than some of the others, so it was people obviously enjoyed listening to us.
Always.
Okay, well, guys, before we get going, Kyle, just share with everyone what you've been up to. I believe you're still working for Pro Soccer Talk, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, just share a little bit what you're doing with them.
Well, I'm working mostly on Sundays for them, covering Premier League games, which is always fun, although it's a little bit of an empty feeling with the Whites no longer there, as I used to always assigned to cover their games. But now I'm usually working on Sundays for them. So Sunday mornings here in the United States, and it's really great to see the Premier League coverage just exploding here in the States the way it is. The ratings are high. NBC does an excellent job with their coverage on TV. And so I'm really honored to be a part of that on the online edition. We really do tag team well with the TV broadcast of the Premier League. And so things are going really well there.
Well, that's great to hear, and honestly, the coverage has been fantastic, and we're lucky here over here, like I said, with NBC Sports to have that type of coverage of the Barclays Premier League, and you're doing a great job, my friend. You're doing a great job.
Thank you, Russ. I appreciate the kind words.
All right. Fantastic. Well, listen, guys, let's get into the show, and again, as David knows, I've now changed the Cottage Talk Controversy Roundtable, just the Cottage Talk Roundtable, because it's not always controversial, but Kyle, I'm going to start with you. Again, my first topic is this. Do you think getting a point on the road against Middlesbrough, who are near the top of the league, is a sign of progress for Fulham?
Yeah, it is a sign of progress. It's a positive sign. Progress implies moving upwards, and I don't know if a point anywhere implies progress, but I certainly think getting a point on the road at one of the best teams in the championship is a very solid performance. Now, Middlesbrough wasn't exactly one of the best attacking teams in the league, but they're one of the best defensive teams in the league, so it's not surprising that we weren't able to get by them. And holding a clean sheet against any team in the league is always a positive. So I don't know if it's a sign of progress necessarily, but it certainly is a positive, and I would take that in a heartbeat. Now, looking at the performance, it was up and down. Moving forward, even against one of the better defensive sides, you always want to be attacking and have that good mentality. And it was hit or miss in that sense. But I think overall the result is a good one. And in a vacuum, we can certainly take that as a positive.
Okay, very good. David, over to you. Again, I know it's a little strange of a topic because you could take the word progress to mean many things. But again, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I think as an individual result, it was a very positive, as Kyle said. I mean, to go there, keep a clean sheet, which is something we've been pretty hard to find lately, and also have a chance of almost winning it. I think certainly we did better than we expected. I think we all agree that maybe Kit could have been a little bit more exciting still, a bit more adventurous, perhaps bringing on Fredericks much earlier. But in the main, it's a positive. But we get a lot of these have-we-turned-the-corner-yet situations. You know, we had that against after the match with QP Haar, and obviously we haven't, because then we went out and got stuffed by Wolves. And then we have the match against Charlton where we've thrown things away in the last few minutes. So it's all very well saying have we turned the corner yet, but until we see what happens around the corner, we don't know whether we've turned it or not. So I think we need to see consistency, and that's something we've been lacking. That's, you know, that's probably the buzzword this season. Last
sure.
season, I think we were generally more poor. We have seen a little bit better this year, most certainly, but we haven't seen consistency, and that's what we need.
Listen, David, I completely agree with you, and I've talked to Emilio about this, and this is where he's going on calling it progress, and let me get your thoughts on this, and I'll ask Kyle. Some of these matches, last year, Fulham played at the Riverside, lost 2-0. They really haven't had that blowout loss yet. Again, the games are much closer. And that, to him, is a sign of progress, that we are a different side from last year. Does that make sense?
Well, certainly. I mean, you know, we had a few five-goal games last year and things, and we haven't, thankfully, seen something like that. So I think it's testament also to the fact that we have a more settled situation at Fulham. I know Kit is not everyone's cup of tea, and we're not sure if he's the man for the job, but at least we have consistency there, and we have the same team of people working with, you know, a group of players, and with Kit, and, you know, and although I've been critical of it, he's quite predictable in his lineup, so we do tend to see the same teams working together, which has to be good for the consistency. So, yeah, short of us suddenly starting to ship loads more goals and having a real, you know, 5-0 thrashings like we had, there has been obviously some progress. But then you look at the players we have and you think, well, hold on a minute, have we made enough progress with the players that we have? Because theoretically, when you look at the positions, man for man, we have, you know, some of the best players in the league, supposedly. You know, people like McCormack, obviously. O'Hara's done very, very well for himself. Kearney's a good talent, you know, we can carry on. You know, Dembele's a great talent as well, and so on and so forth. And you look at other teams and you think, how many of the players from other teams would you substitute into our team? And it would probably be quite hard. There'd be not that many people you'd say, I'd actually have him instead of so-and-so. So I think we're still underperforming in terms of the squad that we have, whether that's down to we need more time for the consistency, or whether that's down to the fact that the manager just isn't good enough to get us there, it obviously remains to be seen. Obviously, we think it's more the case of the latter, but as I say, if we start having a run of games together where we get respectable results, which hasn't really happened yet, not as a run, not a consistent run, things may change.
Very good point, David. Extremely good point, because that's going to lead me to go back to you, Kyle, and please feel free to share your thoughts on what David just talked about, but I want to take this topic to a different level. And something that Mike Gregg mentioned to me, a co-host on the last show, he thinks these next two matches are crucial. Again, going to consistency, what David's talking about, how crucial are these two next matches coming up, these two home matches, again, against Leeds United, and we're talking Reading. If they get two victories, would you then call that a very positive sign of progress?
Well, sure. I mean, two wins in a row is always positive progress, especially when one of them's joint second in the league. But I think where and to David's point, and I think where he gets this right, you know, obviously the buzzword is consistency, like he said. But when you look at something like this, baseball is very similar, and you know, bring this to those across the pond here. When you look at baseball and soccer, they're very similar in the sense that they're both very long seasons with large sample sizes. And you need to, when you look at a sport like rugby or like American football, they're very smaller sample sizes because there are fewer games. You look at results much more than you do performances. When you look at a game like cricket or like baseball or like soccer, you have larger sample sizes, and so you can look at performances more than you do results, and you say, you know, you use words like luck, things like that. So in where I think Kit goes wrong a lot of times, and this is a common mistake by a large number of managers these days, is they look at results more than they do performances. And I think this is an issue that the United States national team is having with Jurgen Klinsmann as well, is oftentimes a team will eke out a result that may seem positive, but the performance is foreboding because it wasn't very good. And then the manager wonders why future results go poorly. And you say, well, there were warning signs earlier on. And so I think that's where Kit Simon struggles sometimes, is he'll look at a performance like, or he'll look at a result like a 0-0 draw with Middlesbrough, and he'll say, we got a point on the road against the top team in the league. And in that sense, he's correct. But what he doesn't do is look at the performance in the sense that our defense was great, the attack, not so much. So if Fulham goes out and, let's say, can't score against Leeds and then Reading, and he'll say, well, you know, it's surprising to me that we're not performing well in the attacking sense. You say, well, there were warning signs earlier in the performances. He just refused to look at them. So I think that's where David is correct in the sense that you need consistency in the performances. And so I agree with him there. And Kit needs to sort of look at a larger picture rather than focusing in on results.
No, listen, I totally agree with that. It's not just about the results. It's also about the performance. And you guys both mentioned it, the consistency. And you're going to hear some of that in some of these comments. I'm going to share some of them right now from the Cottage Talk, from the Cottage Talk Facebook page from the Fulham supporters. I'm just going to read a few of them because we have several of them. Let's start with Kenneth Elseth. He said, hard to say based on that one match. Look at the others in this season. We have not been consistent enough. This is what you guys are talking about. We can say now that, yes, maybe it's a sign of progress, but what if we lose against Leeds? That progress has a very short lifetime. Let's see what the next few matches will bring and then review Barrow. If it was it or was it not progress? That's, you know, again, going to what we're talking about, guys. Simon Rugg said, I spoke to a Middlesbrough fan of length before the game, and he said they were absolutely flying. So, yes, happy with the point, but if we lose to Leeds and don't play well, then, of course, that point is not progress, but more of a delay in the assessment of the team. Very interesting commentary. Ollie Asbro said, yes, considering two of our normal starting 11 were unavailable, to go to a top team and get a point is a good result. John James said, this is an interesting one, if we are after mid-table, it's a sign of progress. If we're pushing for playoff, it's not good enough. Ian Walworth also said, a point was good as it made the kid out a lot bit confused. We didn't win, but it was a good point away to a side going for promotion. Oh, heck, I can't moan for at least 3 days. Okay. And we do have several other comments, but we just don't have time to go through every single one of them. David, what are your thoughts about some of that commentary from the Fulham supporters?
I think they tend to agree with, you know, how I feel, that we haven't seen that consistency, and it's all very well saying, you know, we've reached a sort of stepping stone and we've turned a corner, but we don't really know what we're going to see tomorrow night yet. You know, in the old days, you'd be confident of this result, you know, when the Cottage was a fortress, and you'd think, yes, this is definitely a winnable game. But with everything that's happened with Leeds and just the way we've been performing, we can't be sure that, you know, we're going to go out there and see a consistent performance and a good performance from Fulham. So until we see that, and if we see that tomorrow night, and if we see it against Reading, then at least you can say, well, we've had, you know, three performances in a row. That is some sort of progress. So I think the guys in the main are there. Yeah, the chap who said about the kit out, brigade, value point as well, but I don't think it changes the overall picture of things, because we can still be critical about the way Kit went about it. Yes, we got a very good point, but there was certainly, you know, a question asked, maybe we should have gone for it a little bit more, second half especially, made substitutions early. But I guess Kit, you know, Kit was reacting to what happened at Charlton, where he made substitutions and messed things up, and so he's kind of gone back into his shell on that one. But I think the Fulham fans have summed up kind of all aspects of it there pretty well.
Yeah, I agree with that. Kyle, what are your thoughts on what the Fulham supporters had to share?
Well, as David said, I think that they were overall in agreement with what we were saying, and I want to move back just a moment and say, I don't think, you know, I didn't want to make it sound like I just, you know, you don't look at results at all. You look at performances, because that's not true. If you're either in a relegation battle or a promotion battle or it's the end of the season, obviously you need to scrap together results no matter what the performance is. But I think everyone here is in agreement in the sense that at the moment you look to build performances on, and then the results will come over a long period of time if you focus on certain things that are not going well. Now, I think something that we all do need to take away from this Middlesbrough performance, moving back to the original point, is the fact that we held a clean sheet against a mediocre to good attacking side. Not a great attacking side, but they're up at the top of the table, so clearly they're right. Good at it. And we held a clean sheet against Middlesbrough without Tim Ream, our best defender. I have to say I did not watch the match, but I listened and – from what it sounded like, Dan Byrne had an absolutely outstanding game, which is a huge positive because he's been stuck on the bench or just struggling in the recent going. So it's great to see Dan Byrne having a great match, and overall the defense performed outstanding. So that is really a big positive to take moving forward, as that's been a real Achilles heel of this team earlier this season and last year. So I think there are certainly positives to take from this match that we'd like to focus on as well.
Listen, I completely agree, and I watched the replay yesterday, and I'm glad that you mentioned Dan Byrne because he played very well, along with Richard Stearman, who definitely, for me, was the man of the match. He was fantastic. The defense in general played very well, but the center-back pairing, both of them were very good, especially, like I said, Richard Stearman. And there were several positives to take out of it. But again, there was an opportunity there, and unfortunately they didn't take 1-3, which you know, again, is something we might look back and say, you know, again, an opportunity that we missed out on, but we shall see. All right, David, I'm going to start with you because, again, this is a topic that many fans are talking about. Do you think the sacking of manager Uwe Rosel for Leeds United and the hiring of Steve Evans is an advantage or a disadvantage for them heading into the match with Fulham? Again, many people are talking about that new manager bounce. Do you believe in the new manager bounce, David?
Well, if you've seen Steve Evans, there's certainly a lot of bouncing going around when he's walking. He's a big guy, isn't he?
Yes.
And there's certainly a bounce there. And yeah, this happens to us all the time, doesn't it? You know,
it does.
We come across teams. Every time someone changes a manager, it's right before they play Fulham. There must be some kind of unwritten rule or written rule there that other clubs have. They're right, you know, we need a result, we're desperate result. Oh, look, Fulham, they'll oblige. Look at Charlton. I mean, they're being stuffed at the moment, but we gave them their first point for weeks. You know, Wolves were going through a shaky bit. We oblige with them. And this is kind of what gets us down as Fulham fans sometimes, this Fulhamish thing that, you know, teams having a bad time when they come to play us, suddenly their game improves. And this could be, you know, the perfect storm that we've talked about in the past before, where suddenly for Leeds, you know, anything could happen. I think it throws everything up in the air. We could see anything from, you know, Fulham being stuffed, Leeds being stuffed, or just, you know, something in the middle, really, because it's going to be a lot of turmoil. Obviously, the Leeds owner or director, he's been disqualified as well from being a director or something, hasn't he? By the authorities, and we got Steve Evans has come in, and he's quite a controversial character. I mean, he actually used to live near me. I don't know if you know that, because he managed two local teams in Lincolnshire here, Stamford United, then Boston, who very briefly Boston were in the Football League for a couple of seasons. I remember Fulham played them in the League Cup about 11 years ago, I think it was, actually. And he used to live quite near where I live, just a few miles outside the town, apparently. And then, of course, he's moved on to bigger things. But when he was at Boston, he got himself in trouble, Steve Evans. He was prosecuted for some sort of tax issues. He's always been a larger-than-life figure in more ways than one. And obviously, at Rotherham, I mean, he got a lot of stick, but I think he did some good things with them there at some point as well.
Obviously, I agree with you.
Latterly, they were obviously underperforming. So I have to say, I mean, it's logical in the fact that he's based in that area, because Leeds isn't very far from Rotherham, but I don't think he's the kind of man you'd expect to be at Leeds, really. Obviously, he's a man who wears his heart on his sleeve. I think when we played up at there, he was very animated, wasn't he, when we beat them? As I say, I think it could be a disaster for Fulham in some ways, that in fact there'll be some sort of reaction from the Leeds players. God knows what it will be, but it could work against us.
Yeah. Okay, but for you, it really is an unpredictable situation, David. You can't really predict one way or another what's going to happen, because it could go either way for you.
Certainly. I mean, he's had no time to work with them, so, you know, they won't be able to make massive changes overnight. But then just sometimes, for whatever happens, you know, we've seen it before. A new manager comes in and they suddenly start playing differently. Perhaps he'll pick different players. Maybe there'll be people who've got a point to prove. We don't know, but the scary thing is that it's going to work against you rather than in your favor for some reason.
Okay, very good. Kyle, what are your thoughts on this? I see where David's coming. It's difficult to predict, but I always think that, again, with a new manager, you do have that instability because you have not worked with this team. So I'm kind of leaning towards that this, believe it or not, could be an advantage for Fulham, but I understand history here that it's worked against us. What are your thoughts about it?
Yeah, I mean, I actually do believe in that new manager bump. I think it's definitely a thing, and oftentimes you don't see the actual deficiencies of the new manager or the fact that they haven't worked with the team for a couple of matches, because there is that injection of life and the belief now that, you know, new things can happen. It is an interesting phenomenon. So I think it's something that the Fulham squad will need to look out for, no question about it. I see David's points, and I see your points, Russ, that it could work to the Fulham advantage. But the players are the players. They are who they are on the field, no matter the manager. So to that extent, maybe there will be a new tactics set up, whatever. But I think that this could often work for Leeds and against Fulham. So I would be wary if it were me.
Okay, very good. And I believe I've seen it mentioned. Again, speculation is that Steve Evans likes to play a 4-4-2, and I believe prior they've played a 4-3-3. So there could be a change in system for Leeds. But again, based on what I've been reading and the research I've been doing, they can adapt to a 4-4-2 if that's what Evans wants to do. So it'll be interesting to see how they react. And very good point by you. Again, there isn't much time to react, so you're just going out and playing. And then the adjustments might happen later, so I could see where you're going, that it could work in their favor for the first few matches, and then the adjustment happens. We'll see what happens. But it's an interesting topic, and I'll just share some comments from the Fulham supporters. Again, on the Cottage Talk Facebook page, Simon Rugg said, quite often teams get a temporary boost, just like you're saying, Kyle, after changing their manager, which soon dissipates, but we could see the best of Leeds on Wednesday. I reckon bring them on for the moment means the way Kip preps the team is to take nothing for granted. Let's go for the 3 points wholeheartedly while showing sensible positional discipline and no sendings off, please. I completely agree with that. Definitely agree with that. Eden Gordon said, I hate the new manager bounce. Rosser wasn't getting the results, but I'm unsure of Evans' pedigree. I think it's probably a tough job for anyone working under Massimino Cellini. Time will tell if Evans is the right man for the job. Okay, so that's his. Alex Sander says, Leeds is a madhouse, whoever the manager is. Ben Reed says, no, hopefully they will be in disarray and we'll get the 3 points. Guys, it sounds like the Fulham supporters are all over the place on this. David, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I am as well. You know, Leeds is an incredibly hard place to go as a manager. You know, we've seen it all the way back, you know, over many years, back to my friend Brian Clough, of course, in the 70s. And, you know, there's very high expectations there for the job, and that's been borne out by the change of managers that they've had in the last year or two at Leeds. And it hasn't really helped them, to be honest with you, all this uncertainty. So let's hope that continues. But, you know, I am with the Fulham fans. I'm all over the place. I don't know whether to be happy about this, whether to be worried about this. It's just we've got to see what Kit does tomorrow, and it's going to be one of those games where I think we've got to start strong and hit them hard and hit them early and don't give them time to settle, and hopefully, you know, they'll go to pieces, because otherwise, I think the longer that we let them into the game tomorrow, the more chance that their confidence will be growing and growing, and they will get something out of the game.
Okay, very good. Kyle, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I think David pretty much covered most of it. It's hard to know what effect it's going to have on this Leeds team until we complete the game, and I think that's why a lot of people are all over the place, because anything really can happen. But we'll have to wait and see what kind of effect it has. We won't really know until later. I think that is a good point about Leeds management as well. Always tough to work under that group. So we'll have to wait and see. And I think for a lot of it, as far as Fulham's concerned, that's not something they can control. You got to control the controllables as a sports coach, a team, whatever. And I know that's a cliche, but I think it's a good one. So for Fulham, they can't be worried about new management, old management, whatever it is. They got to go in and play their game.
Okay, very good there, Kyle. All right, guys. I do have the audio clip of Kit today with Sarah. But before we do that, David actually was asked some questions. He was asking for questions with the Fulham supporters on the Cottage Talk Twitter page, and we're going to go through a few of them. Again, you know, we're not going to spend too much time because I definitely want to get to the audio clip. So what we'll do is we'll do a little rapid fire. We have three of them from one person. So I'll go back and forth with you guys and just get your thoughts on it. And, David, I'm going to start with you. Again, this is from Stephen Watson, who sent you a few questions, all right? His question to you was, does Matt Smith start?
I don't think he will tomorrow. I think he'll be on the bench, and I think he should be there as a plan B, especially with his kind of wanting to do well against Leeds. But I would have imagined that Kit's going to keep to McCormack and Dembele tomorrow, so I think Matt Smith will be a bench option.
Okay, fantastic. I tend to agree with you, David. You know, it's funny, I was thinking about this before the show began. I think he's now the perfect plan B. I want to see Matt Smith as our plan B moving forward. I don't want Kit to go away from Dembele. Unless it's a situational match, meaning that a match that Matt Smith would really fit in well to start, I think that he should be our plan B moving forward. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think for now, because I believe very much in if you've got your shirt and, you know, you've been a regular in the team, I think you deserve to keep that. And, you know, I was going to say the same about Dan Burn. Even if Tim Ream had been fit, I was going to say Dan Burn kept a clean sheet, you know, and I think he deserves to keep that shirt. If you come into the team, I think you deserve that, unless there are, you know, extraordinary reasons why you can't play, or, you know, you have an injury or something like that. And I think Matt Smith, you know, potentially is a very good striker, and he's got a good conversion rate. At the moment, a better conversion rate than Dembele, but it changes the whole perspective, what they're trying to do.
Sure.
Trying to get the ball on the ground and playing things. And if we do start to play with a bit of width and pace, he's the perfect man to come on maybe for the last few minutes, you know, with someone like Fredericks putting the ball in. You know, if we are chasing a game, or if we want to just mix things up a little bit. So, much as I like Matt Smith, I think we should maintain the status quo for now.
I totally agree with that, David. And just so you know, and I'll be playing the clip in a few minutes. I don't know if you heard, but Kit mentions in the audio clip that Tim Ream will not be playing in the upcoming match. He's not quite there to be able to be available for selection. So Tim Ream will not be playing. And Andy Larnigan is a doubt, but he could still be playing. Sounds like he'll be a fitness question going into the match, and we'll see what happens. All right, Kyle, back over to you. Again, this is from our friend Stephen Watson. What position do we strengthen in January?
Well, I think it's just the position you guys were talking about. This team needs a striker. They need someone who can come in and strengthen that forward position. You look at what's offered right now on this squad. You've got Dembele and Woodrow, who are youth products. They're still young. Dembele's been okay. I haven't been as impressed with Moussa Dembele as some other people have. A lot of people talk about him as almost an undroppable player in this team. I don't see that at all. I think this team needs to strengthen itself with a striker position. You've got Ross McCormack, who's more of a creator than he is a goal scorer this year. He was a pure goal scorer 2 years ago, and his first year with the club, a lot was on his shoulders. That's not the case anymore. So he is really more a creator than he is a scorer. And his production has dropped, whether, you know, he's lost a bit of fitness this year or his role has changed, whatever it is, his production has dropped. So I think this team needs a pure striker first and foremost. So moving into January, I think that's really where this team should concentrate. They've shored up the back line about as much as you're going to with new players, at least at the moment. And the midfield is what it is right now. Maybe you want to look to replacing Scott Parker moving forward, but I think they have the pieces in order to make that happen. You've got Emerson Hyman, who probably is on his way out, but should
right.
he stay, you know, Ryan Tunnicliffe has come in and done an excellent job in place of Scott Parker, who's been injured for a while. Tunnicliffe has really been a positive so far. Lassie Vegan Christensen is a good creator in the midfield. You've got options. I think Kaczyniklic should be starting more than he is, but Tom Kearney, obviously, there. Pringle's been – he's struggled. But you look at Jamie O'Hara's, obviously, can't forget him. He's been outstanding. So the midfield at the moment is what it is. The defense is what it is. I think that the attack is really where this team needs an out-and-out striker. Matt Smith, you guys were talking about him just before.
Yep.
He's a good goal scorer in good form, but for a player with such limited capabilities as Smith is, it's really hard to bring him into a team as first choice and then build the rest of the team around him. It's really hard to do for, you know, a guy who's almost a pure header of the ball. He showed some skill with his feet, so maybe he's not as limited as we thought he was, but I really do think this team needs an out-and-out goal scorer with his feet.
Listen, I'm not disagreeing with you on that, Kyle, but going back to talk about Matt Smith, that's why I think that he would be a great plan B, a change of, you know, a change of striker, you know, a change of pace, you know, not change of pace, you know, bringing in someone that has speed. I'm talking about, you know, changing up
right.
how Fulham are playing. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would, although he does have his uses in the starting lineup. You know, it's tough because when you bring him in, all of a sudden your team starts lumping the ball forward to him, which is a negative attacking mentality. But you almost look at him like a bruising running back where he can soften up the defense, and then you bring someone faster like Dembele or Woodrow on for the last half hour, last 20 minutes, and they can burn a defense that's tired of jumping with Matt Smith the whole time. That's how you can use him. I don't think he's been used effectively, or at least as much as he can be. And it's tough to leave a guy like him in good form out of the lineup all the time, but unfortunately his limited capabilities sort of lend itself to that.
Okay, very good. And, you know, again, I just see him as someone that could really come off the bench and make an impact, you know, really
Absolutely.
Really force the team to you know, react to what he offers, because it's going to be completely different than, say, Dembele or even Woodrow. And that's why I think he could really just change the game by his presence. That's why I think he's the perfect plan B. All right, guys, we're going to move on. And right now I'm going to play the interview done earlier today with the Fulham manager, Keith Simons. It's about 6 minutes long. We'll talk about it quickly. And then we will go into our preview. Sound good?
Are you meant to be on the radio?
Let's do it.
All right, let's do it. Here is Keith Simons.
Keith, it was a really hard-fought, well-earned point on Saturday at the Riverside Stadium. How are preparations going now on the back of that for tomorrow night's game against Leeds?
Yeah, going really well. The boys have recovered nicely, and you know, we've done a couple of good sessions then leading into the game on Wednesday night, so no, everything's looking good.
Obviously, Tim Ream didn't feature because he got a knock on international duty, and James Husband couldn't because of the agreement with Middlesbrough. Are they both fit and available for tomorrow?
No, Hubby obviously just out for the one game because it was his parent club, so he's back available for us. Tim, unfortunately, still unlikely to be fit. Shouldn't be too far off, but certainly won't be ready for Wednesday night.
Dan Byrne came in and had a great performance, was voted man of the match by the Fulham fans. How did you rate his performance?
Yeah, I was really pleased. Delighted for Dan. It's been a little bit frustrating for him. But he came in and did really, really well. So, no, I was pleased for him. I thought he was excellent on the day, but I thought as a team we defended very, very well from front to back. It was very pleasing.
And was that kind of show of resilience really good on the back of that disappointment of conceding two late goals and only getting a point against Charlton?
Well, it was. We spoke a lot about the game management of that Charlton game, the last 10 minutes of it, and just in general moving forward. So obviously, Aitor Karanka was a little bit unhappy with some of the way the boys, you know, didn't rush to get balls. Basically, you know, we're away from home, we're playing against very good sides. Why should we rush? You know, so I think the fact that the opposition manager was a little bit unhappy probably showed we did manage the game quite well. Now, I wouldn't advocate, you know, deliberately wasting time and things like that. But also, you've got to be sensible and, like I say, manage the game properly according to your position within that game. And I thought we did that very well on Saturday.
But surely the whole point of having a game plan and the tactics that you put out are to frustrate the opposition, create chances on your terms, as opposed to letting the opposition play. So it's kind of football, right?
Yeah, well, exactly. So I thought we were solid defensively, but also we had, you know, equal share possession to Middlesbrough, and arguably the better chances to actually go and win the game. You know, so overall we played very well, and a little bit aggrieved not to come away with all 3 points, but, you know, I think before the game certainly we would have taken a point, so I'm quite pleased overall, and another clean sheet.
On to tomorrow night, there have been some significant changes at Leeds United over the last 48 hours, not least Steve Evans in the dugout, who of course knows Fulham quite well, knows how to play against Fulham. What are you expecting him to do with his new team, given that he's only been in the job 24 hours?
Yeah, it'll be an interesting one. Not quite sure what to expect. You just, you know, obviously we've done our work on Leeds, all our scouting reports and our video analysis, but obviously a new manager could come in and completely change the style of play the way they want to play. He's not had an awful lot of time to work with them, so that'll be quite interesting as to what he does. Now, you know, any game we go into, we'll obviously show full respect to our opposition and we're very mindful of their strengths and weaknesses, but ultimately football's about what you do, you know, what we're able to do as a football team and how we can hurt other teams. So, like I say, if we can show that same defensive resilience as we did up at Middlesbrough, we've got good players going forward and we create some really good chances, and it's just down to us to make sure we take a few of them tomorrow night. But, yeah, we're not sure quite what Leeds will do, how they'll play it.
Does it help that you played Rotherham earlier on in the season away from home and you kind of know what Steve Evans brings?
We know roughly what Steve Evans is all about as a manager, how he sets his teams up. But like I say, he's literally stepped in with a new group of players who he obviously doesn't know particularly well. They don't know him. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. But like I say, I'm more worried and focused on what we do. If we put our game plan into practice and do it to the letter, then, you know, I'm confident we'll come out winning the game.
And no concerns over that new manager syndrome?
No, I'm not unduly worried by that at all. You know, we're still playing against Leeds United. They've got the same group of players that they had last week. So we know, you know, they've got some good players, some really good players in there, but, you know, I'm confident we can beat them.
Two home games, 6 points, that would make the table look incredibly different come the beginning of November. How important to get those points on the board? And obviously tomorrow night just started off with a great performance at home.
Well, that'd be brilliant. I mean, there's been a lot of building going on at Fulham since I've taken over. You know, we've changed an awful lot of things, and you can break things down very quickly within months, but to build them up takes considerably longer. And that's what we're trying to do at this football club, is build it back up to where we think it should be. And it'll take a lot of hard work, take a lot of time, but I'm really pleased that things are going in the right direction. I'm hopeful other people can see that as well. But ultimately, it's results in the short term that keep me in gainful employment and keep the momentum going. So, you know, we need to get a few more wins, but it's certainly going the right way. And I'm really pleased with the way the players are gelling together and the cohesion we're starting to show now, and the way it's all working. I'm delighted.
And finally, a brief word on Andy Lonergan. Will he be ready tomorrow night after that the knock that he took, where he had to be substituted?
He'll be touch and go, Lonners as well. It's not too bad. It's a slight hamstring strain, but yeah, we'll see how he goes with that one. But he's not too far away if he's not ready for Wednesday. So we'll see.
We wish you luck.
Thank you.
Okay, we are back, and that was an interview done earlier today with the full manager, Kit Simons. And Kyle, I will go to you first because I know that you have to run fairly soon. So what are your thoughts on what Kit had to share? And also, before you go, please do give us a prediction for the match.
Well, I'm surprised to hear him talk about the club being on, you know, building things up. It's not surprising considering his history with the youth squad on this team, but to hear a manager say that is surprising. You don't hear that in any other sport. You know, even you look at a lot of the American sports, baseball, football, basketball, nobody wants to admit that they're rebuilding, even if they are. No one wants to actually say it publicly. And, you know, and so to hear him say that's a bit surprising. But it's an interesting thought because it's true. They are rebuilding things after a few unnamed people broke them down. And he's absolutely right when he says, you know, it's so easy to break things down in this kind of a business. It's so difficult to build back up. And in that sense, I give him a lot of credit. But it's also tough for fans to stomach, especially in this sport where you have promotion and relegation. You know, the rebuilding is such a different concept here in the United States than it is abroad, simply because here in the U.S. with our sports, you're rewarded for being bad because U.S. sports promote parity, whereas in other sports abroad, you're punished for being bad. Now, there's no one right way to do it, but it's just odd to hear him admit that when rebuilding is such a dangerous process in soccer. So I don't know. That just really struck me. I'm curious to hear what others think of his points there. He's not wrong, but to hear him say that is still surprising. And to what extent should this club have its mindset on rebuilding, and to what extent should it have on winning now? I think that's also a debate that there's no right answer to, but it would be interesting to hear David's and your opinion on that. You know, to what extent should this club be looking to win now versus building assets for the future? You know, and players are assets here, so you don't want to just buy players in this game, especially where Fulham are, who will play well. You know, you obviously want that. You want assets. You want players that you can either A, sell for a profit, or B, help your team win games, which will ultimately make you a profit. So there's an interesting dichotomy there that there's no right answer to, and Kit's question or Kit's comments on that certainly raised that debate. So I'd be interested to hear your guys' opinions on that. But first, you'd like a score prediction.
Yep.
I think this is the most cop-out score prediction in all of soccer or football predictions. But I'm going to go 2-1 to Fulham. I think 2-1 is the cop-out scoreline prediction because it's, you know, you're not keeping a clean sheet, but you're playing good defense, and your team's going to score a couple of goals and get a win. It's a real cop-out prediction, but I think that's where this one heads.
Okay, very good. Kyle, can you stick around to hear David and I?
Yes,
respond?
I would
you
like
have to drop off. What?
No, I'd like to hear what you have to say on this.
Okay, very good. Very interesting takeaway from that interview. David, what are your thoughts before I share mine?
Well, Kit was very keen to talk up his own role as much as he was about the team, really. I think he looked to me as if he was very tired, a few sleepless nights. And the way he spoke was as if he's been given a final warning almost. He said that, you know, he was very keen to point out that, you know, that his future at the club is based on a few short, you know, on a short term of results. So it's as if he's been told, right, you know, a couple of wins or you're out in your ear, almost. But he seemed to be, you know, he wanted to talk up and say what a wonderful job he's done as part of this rebuilding process of the club. So it was a strange kind of mixed messages on something that was actually, you know, a prediction or a preview for a team, for a match as such. It was,
sure.
You know, he threw a lot of other things in there. It wasn't, you know, that much really about the match, nothing that we've really not heard. I mean, at Middlesbrough, you know, he's mentioned Middlesbrough and the positives from that, but also the fact that it's a match that we potentially actually could have won in the end. And I don't know if that's a confession by him that perhaps he needed to be a little bit more bold, as we've said. I mean, you know, we had the Fredericks incident, which has been discussed.
Fredericks was ready to come on after 85 minutes, and there were chances to bring him on, and then he didn't bring him on until 90 minutes. And then Fredericks puts a ball through, you know, helped by Dembele to McCormack, and we could have scored. And it just begs the question, if we'd have had a few more minutes with him on, what could have happened? But, you know, there was all that in there. There was the Middlesbrough talk, there was a bit about Leeds and their changes, a little bit about, obviously, our players who are injured. But then all this about how he's rebuilding the club and how he's been part of this rebuilding process, and also how, basically, if we don't win in a few games, he's out on his ear.
No, listen, it's, you know, I actually find it fascinating that he was sharing that with us, David. And it's interesting because I think it's pretty obvious, you know, again, if you read between lines what you're doing, I think he is under pressure. I think he's feeling the pressure. And the fact that he's talking about the rebuild is fascinating to me, because this is a rebuild. And Kyle, to your question about how do I feel about a rebuild, I'm not against a rebuild. Fulham needed to do this, Kyle, honestly. They needed to start from the bottom and work their way up. I'm fine with the rebuild, but I need to see progress, meaning that for me, I need to see a push for top six this season. Then I'm okay with a rebuild. I want to be able to be in contention this season. For me, it's a little bit of both. I want them to start to build towards the goal of getting back to the Premier League, hopefully this year, if not this year, next year. But I need to see the progress. So I'm not against the rebuild. I wanted the rebuild, but I want it to be a little bit quicker than, say, an American version of a rebuild, which can be, say, anywhere between 1 to 3 years. This needs to be shorter. But there also needs to be something to build towards a long-term future. And that's what I wanted to see, Kyle, if that answers your question.
Yeah, I get that. It's such a – rebuild is such a broad word. It's such a it doesn't really cover exactly whatever this club in particular is going through. But with so much turnover, Russ, I'm going to be completely honest, I think the chances of it's early, but I think the chances of a top six battle, just by what we're seeing on the field, is slim, especially given the deficit that the club already has. But progress from last year would be important, and a positive product on the field is probably the most important. I think David's point is right, that it did sound a little bit like he's under some pressure from management,
yes,
which is good. I think the problem with Kit Simons is that we gave him leeway when he first became manager because he had never had a first team managerial position before, and he deservedly needed time to figure some of these things out. You make mistakes as a new manager, you learn from those mistakes and you move on and you become a better manager. It doesn't happen overnight. You need experience, and I think most fans were willing to give him that leeway, especially when the club was struggling just because of the players they had on the field. It wasn't necessarily the fault of the manager. But now we're seeing the same mistakes over and over and over and over again. And to David's point about Fredericks, this is not the first time that we've seen him be late with substitutions. It's far from the last time, or it's far from the first time, and it will be probably far from the last time. So he's making the same mistakes over and over again, and that's,
yes,
not a good sign, because you want the manager to learn from his mistakes. So
absolutely,
it sounds like he's under a lot of pressure, which I think is a good thing. So either this gives him a kick in the rear, or it ends up with a change. The question is, who are you going to bring in? And that's a whole other topic, and we can have a whole other show on that, I'm sure. But I think David makes some good points there about what he got from that interview.
Yeah, David made some excellent points, and you did as well, my friend, because, again, you know, listen, what's interesting, and unless others are not aware of this, I'll make sure everyone's aware of this. Shotcom should be in town, should be in London on Saturday. He's probably going to be in there earlier than that because the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to be playing against the Buffalo Bills at Wembley. So
right.
I don't know. Maybe he's feeling a little pressure there, Kyle, because his boss is going to be in London this weekend. So again, just keep that in mind with these two matches. Maybe he's feeling a little bit of that pressure, my friend.
Mm-hmm. You make a good point.
All right. Do you need to drop off?
Yeah, I'm going to head out. Thank you so much for having me on, Russ. It's always great to be on Cottage Talk, and anytime I can jump on with you, please don't hesitate to ask.
All right. Thanks, Kyle.
Cheers, Kyle.
Okay. All right. That was Kyle Bond, my original co-host of Cottage Talk. It was great to have him on, David, for 50 minutes. You can follow Kyle on Twitter at Phone's Finest, and he's a great guy. I thought he had some very good insight. And, David, we only have 10 minutes, so we really have to go kind of fairly quickly through this preview. I'm just going to just share with you real quickly just some basic information on Leeds. They're currently 18th. They have 2 wins, 5 draws, 4 losses. They've scored 10. They've given up 15. They have a -5 goal differential, and they're on 11 points. Top-rated players are Saul Bamba, Charlie Taylor, who's going to be out for this match. That was confirmed by Steve Evans. He's a left back. And center back Liam Cooper is a doubt, but according to Steve Evans, making the trip to London. So we'll see if he ends up playing. Top goal scorers are Chris Wood, forward, and Mirko Antonucci. Both of them are quality strikers. And then, of course, and their leader in assist is midfielder Stuart Dallas, which we know from Brentford. He has 2 assists on the season. And, again, I'll just go through some team characteristics real quick. Strengths, counterattacks, stealing the ball from the opposition. They're both very strong in that. They have several weaknesses: finishing, scoring chances, keeping possession of the ball, aerial duels, avoiding individual errors. They're weak in that. They're very weak in defending against through ball attacks, which Fulham should be adept at, defending counterattacks. Again, both very weak in those two skill sets. Style, they attack down the right, take long shots, opponents play aggressively against them, and they rotate their first 11. Again, all this information comes from whoscored.com. All right, David, let's now really get into this. And who do you see as our key players tomorrow for this match?
This is a game we've got to take to them, I think. If we want to win this game, we take the game to them. We start strong, like we did with the QPR game.
Okay.
And we shut them up very early because, you know, they're going to be feeling very, very fragile or insecure about all these changes, I guess. But they're also going to have this new manager bounce syndrome as well. And I think they're going to come into the match feeling buoyed. You know, a fresh start for everyone, perhaps, and they think maybe we can do something now. We can kickstart our season. So we need to unkickstart their season. You know, we need to cut off their fuel supply, and we need to start early. So we're looking here at our attacking players who really want to be seeing things. So we want O'Hara to be doing what he does,
okay.
And then we want to see McCormack, Dembele, Pringle if he plays, and whoever plays on the right. And I see this is, again, I'd like to see Fredericks. I'd like to see us take the game to them, but somehow I fear he may stick with LVC again as a sort of a conservative thing. But this isn't the time to be conservative. I think we should go for it tomorrow, and I think that's our best thing. So let the defence carry on doing what they did, but let the attacking players now really go for it and say, get our noses in front early and take the wind out of their sails.
Okay, so for you it really is basically just attack from the get-go. That would be your strategy. Just go at them and, you know, again, be compact defensively, but you want to attack them from the get-go here.
Certainly, yeah. I mean, we're at home. They are 18th in the table. They've got a poor record. They've got a lot of turmoil. We've got to get in there and shut them up quickly.
Do you think, you know, again, on that point, do you think that there's a possibility because of this whole their fragility? Because, again, this could go one of two ways. You know, they are going to get that. They could get that. I shouldn't say they are. They could get that new manager bounce where they feel that they, you know, that kind of invincible feeling. But if you score early, David, you could really shut them down, and this could get, you know, again, this could really go in Fulham's favor if they get an early goal. Would you agree with that?
But certainly, they're gonna have this kind of thin layer of this sort of, you know, whatever you call it, really, you know, this new manager bounce, I suppose, you know, keep using the same term, we have to think of a new term for it. They've got this thin layer there, but it's going to be very fragile, I think, you know, and
yeah.
You get an early goal and the wheels will fall off very quickly, perhaps. It's going to be, it might be hard for them, and it'll be like QPR, just go to pieces, hopefully.
I mean, that's what
right. I could see.
Right. Right, and that's why I think it's important
to have your strategy, to be just all over them from the beginning and get that early goal, and then it could snowball like QPR. That's what you want tomorrow. I completely agree with you, David. You know, again, this is a game where you just, I agree with you. You attack, attack, attack. You go at them, and hopefully you'll get the results early, and they will, again, hopefully they will, you know, they'll fall apart if you attack them early. Take that out of their minds that they can win this match as early as possible. I totally agree with that, David. All right, let's now go to a starting 11. I want you to predict Kit's starting 11, David. We've got a little over 4 minutes. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, this is Kit. This is obviously Kit, not what I do. But Lewis in goal.
But then
I don't
share
think
your
he's
thoughts.
He's going to risk Lonergan. He's not.
Yep.
He'd be mad to risk him if he's got a hamstring. He's going to pick his favourite at right back, I suppose, Richards. It'll be Stearman and Byrne. And I presume he's going to stick with Garbutt, even though Husband is back, which is a shame. I like Husband, but I think he's going to stick with Garbutt. I would imagine Tunnicliffe and O'Hara in central midfield, although Parker's back now. And it's whether he persists with Pringle, who didn't have a good game on Saturday, or whether, in fact, he actually leaves Pringle out and brings Fredericks in and moves LVC to the left, which isn't his position, but we've seen him do it before, or even Kakanicic. But I'd like to see Fredericks and Pringle, so to give us sort of the natural width and natural attacking. This is the one I'm not sure about. I think he'll play LVC and Pringle probably alongside Tunnicliffe and O'Hara. And up front, Dembele and McCormack. Although, you know, there is obviously that chance of Matt Smith. But I think Smith, Parker and others will be on the bench waiting to come on.
Okay. Here are my thoughts, David. I want to see Fredericks in the midfield. I want to see Fredericks in the midfield. Let me just throw this out to you because, again, you're talking about midfield on the other side. Would you consider Husband and Garbutt, Husband being in the midfield? Would you consider that, or is that too crazy?
That's crazy. The white coats
okay.
are out. No, I mean,
the white coats are out, David?
That's a fudge. They tried it at Charlton like that. It was a fudge, and it was ridiculous. You know, if you're gonna play someone there, play Kakanicic. If you don't want to play Pringle, play Kakanicic, or play someone that's their position. Don't play a left back out of position.
Okay, fair enough. You took me to school there, David. Okay, I was just I was thinking outside the box. I was just thinking, you know, because he can go forward. I thought maybe we'd see him like he's done with Sean Kavanagh. That's where I was going, David.
Oh no, he might do it. I'm not saying he wouldn't do it.
You just don't agree with it.
You never know what strange things, but I don't agree with it, no.
Okay. All right. We only have a couple minutes left, and unfortunately, I don't have much time to share the predictions from the Fulham supporters, so I'll just go right to you. Give me your prediction.
He's got to win. He's got to go for it. And if he does, I can see 3-1 to Fulham. Anything that's less than a win, and his job is in severe danger.
Okay, very good. I was just able to pick up some of the predictions from the Fulham supporters on the Cottage Talk Facebook page. Real quick, Ben Reed has 3-0 to Fulham. George Kitten has 5-4 to Fulham. Matthew Camp has 3-0 to Fulham. David Kettlehake, I'm going 3-1 to us. Leeds is in disarray. They've lost several in a row, and their confidence has to be battered. Okay, so you're going 3-1, David?
Yeah.
Okay. David? I don't often agree with you. I'm agreeing with you here. I'm going 3-1, and guess who's getting the hat trick?
No, don't jinx it. Please, don't jinx it.
Moussa Dembele.
Oh, poor Moussa.
All right, David. Listen, great show. I hope you enjoyed it today.
I did, even though I had two Americans to fight against, but you were very kind to me.
Okay, well, you know, sometimes we have to give charity to people like you. I'm just kidding, David. That's a joke. All right.
Thank you very much.
It's time to wrap up the show. For David Holly and Kyle Bond, I'm Russ Coleman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk. Cheers, David.
Cheers, Russ. Good night.
Good night.
Now war is declared. cover.